Well, I don't know if you can read that, but it says, let patience have her perfect work. And I feel like the Lord's given me a few things to share this morning. I would like to think about that. We studied a few weekends ago about the attitude that planes have. It's called attitude, that they have flying, and the way that they're situated in the air, and the way their wings are, the ailerons and different things work, determine whether they go up or down or turn or bank. And this morning, I want us to think about something that is really vital, and there's probably a lot more in the Bible than you would think about it. But patience has a work that it wants to do, that the Lord wants to use in our life to get us ready for heaven. And so the Lord works in ways that we don't. And as we all know, He's told us that His ways are as far above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. And so while we're thinking that we need answers right now, we need healing right now, we need help right now, and we need rid of this problem right now. That's not what the Lord thinks lots of times, because He's looking at a big picture and He's wanting to get us to heaven. And so I want to start with the scripture in James 1 and 2 to 4 and look at what the Lord may have a little more in mind than we do. It says here, James 1 and 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, I don't think this is just speaking only of a temptation. It's of all the things that come against us in life. And sometimes we really hardly know how to handle it. We hardly know how to deal with things sometimes. But James says here, and I want to enlarge on this thought a little bit later, but my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, there's a work that the Lord wants to do in your life and mine that works. It calls it here, let patience have her perfect work, her complete, entire, full work, lacking nothing. Let it have that. And He says, because so that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, so that our life is not lacking those things that we need for us to make it into heaven, so that we don't lack what we need. The Lord allows things into our life on purpose that we might have patience, so that we might make heaven our home. And so just starting with that, I want to think a little bit about the very word patience. In Strong's, the concordance says, from cheerful or hopeful, endurance or constancy, the word meaning enduring, patience, patient continuance. And Webster says of patience, the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning, but I would like to ask us, how many feel like that's our special gift? We are patient. That is just what defines us. Well, probably not too many feel that way this morning. We're not alone, are we? And so I want to think about this morning the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. I know it's easy for us to feel like, well, when I get through this spot in life, then then I can be more that way. But you know, this morning, the Lord is trying to perfect some things in us. And He can only do it many times by putting us in situations that cause us to have to get there. And if we allow the Lord, we don't have to allow the Lord. Sometimes we can go on and do things our own way. Sometimes we can take our own way, many times in fact. But if we will let the Lord, He'll get us to heaven. And if we'll let Him, He'll perfect those things that concerns us, and He'll work on them, and He'll change us into someone that maybe we're not today. And so I want to read in 1 Samuel 13 and 5 a little illustration here of a man that ran out of patience. 1 Samuel 13 and 5. I'm going to read a little story. This is 9 verses long, so it'll take a little bit, but think about what kind of situation Saul was in here. It says, "And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days." Now, you know, we have to look at this realizing these folks were in a real corner for their life. This wasn't something that they just were cornered up and feeling like they were wishing things were a little different in their life. This was for their life. These 30,000 chariots and all that came with them, the horsemen and the multitude, excuse me, that came against them was very real in their life. It was threatening and had every power to completely overthrow them and take away their life. And the people were afraid. And so Saul, it says, "And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him." And now think about this. Samuel said, "I'll come within 7 days. I'll be there." Evidently he told him that. And he told Saul, "You tarry there 7 days." And this was a place that God wanted to give Saul a major victory in his life. He wanted to establish his kingdom. He wanted to show his power. And so I believe God just kind of had this set up, don't you? He saw the problem. He felt the reality of what they were up against. He saw Saul and what Saul was up against. And he understood that. And he knew the feelings that Saul felt. And he saw all that. And so he was checking Saul out here. And it says, "And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering." Was that for a king to do, to offer a burnt offering? That was not for a king to do. That was not something that was in his place to do. In fact, it was very much out of his place. But Saul got in a corner and he realized, God's got to help me some way. I've got to. And so he took his own way. And he ran out of patience waiting on the Lord. You know, we have to have patience with the Lord in our life. We have to be willing, because God is looking at a big picture and He knows everything that's going on in our life. He knows when we're in this kind of situation, when we're up against the realities. This isn't fiction. This isn't something that is in our mind, a figment of imagination. This was real. You ever came to something real like that too, in your life, where you just felt like, my life's going, this is the end of me if God doesn't do something? Well, you know, Saul, it says, he said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered them. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord, thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Now, you know, sometimes the Lord puts us in a place and he knows exactly where we're at. And he expects us to be patient and wait on God. He expects us to trust him when it looks like our bitter end is at hand. When we know, now Saul, this wasn't an iffy situation. Saul knew full well what God was expecting of him. So I'm not talking about not knowing. I'm not talking about not understanding or not having the conviction. I'm talking about when we know what God wants us to do, folks, we will do well. Samuel told Saul, you've done foolishly, Saul. He said, you haven't kept the commandment of the Lord, thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. So I just want to think about that this morning. That, you know, that the Lord knows these things, that he has our good in mind, and that he is working for us. And the Lord help us to be able to work with him. Now, what he was doing was, he was sending Samuel. Samuel was almost there, but Saul cut out before Samuel got there, didn't he? You know, the Lord won't leave us nor forsake us this morning. And he wants us to have patience in our trial. Maybe it's on our job, and we wonder why does this persist? Why does this, you know what? Maybe the Lord's trying to get us to heaven. You know, maybe he's trying to show his power and grace through us to somebody else that needs to go to heaven. And maybe it's a whole bunch of reasons. And that's probably the truth in almost anything. It's a bunch of reasons. See, Saul could have had his kingdom. According to Samuel here, the word of the Lord, Saul could have had his kingdom established here forever. Maybe it wouldn't have been David. Maybe God would have found in Saul the very heart that he hoped for. When he anointed Saul to be king, and he said, Saul, your heart has swerved, and I've found one who's, how did he say that? The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. Now, you know, David messed up, didn't he? But I believe that David had a heart to follow after God. The Lord saw that. David did some things. David was quick to say, it's me. I'm sorry. Saul wasn't that way. And so this morning, as we look through a number of scriptures here, I just want us to think about our life and the Lord and what the value of the things that he wants to put into our life, and how he's wanting to make us able to bear up against the things that come in life. But if we never become hardened soldiers, if we can never face a little bit of adversity and stand up and take it, then how are we ever going to make it all the way through? And so he says, be patient, therefore, and wait on the Lord. The scripture in Psalms 27 and 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, this takes a little bit of patience and some waiting. It takes to be patient, to be calm, to allow the Lord to work in our life and yet to not complain. That's something, isn't it? It really is. It's not easy always. But do we believe the Lord? Do we really believe that He is out to get us to heaven? Do we really believe that everything that God allows in my life, everything. Now we're saying, yeah, but why? And He's saying, everything. He'll work for our good if we will let Him this morning. God help us today. I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow, but I believe the Lord wants to get me to heaven. And I think He's going to let happen in my life what He sees as good to help me get there. And not only me, but those around me, those that I love, those that God loves. He may put me under pressure, as He has done with different ones at times, to try to help someone else get to heaven. I'm thankful that He allowed what He did with Job. It seems, that seemed cruel. But what's it been? How many thousand years has it been? 3,000 years or so? And Job has been enjoying the glories that come from a righteous and godly life with the Lord. I think the Lord sees the big picture. And so sometimes He allows a few things in our life. And, you know, Job has been a blessing to me and to you, hasn't he? And to many people, millions and millions of people. Sometimes God may do that for us, and we don't understand. And so He says, be patient. Be patient with the Lord as we go through life. Listen to this in James 5 and 7. James 5 is such a beautiful chapter. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, now listen to all the things that James is telling us in these scriptures. One golden nugget after another. First, he says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. The Lord's coming back. Be patient until then. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. You know what he's saying there? The husbandman is a farmer in our term. And he says, the farmer, he's patient. He plants his seed, and then he leaves it there. And he works with it. He waters it. He waits for the rain. And he has long patience because it's months many times before he ever sees the fruit. It's a long time. And if he gets in a big hurry and he goes and he digs that seed up, hey, how's this thing doing? What's it going to do? It's not going to work, is it? But you know, he has long patience. You know what? James tells us that to remind us, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Be like this. He said, be also patient, just like this farmer is. You be patient in your life, because after a while, folks, we're going to see that golden city. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know. Some people believe it's going to be gold. They think there's going to be a lot of gold there. In my mind, I can't imagine it being cheap gold. I would think that's a human thing. That's just in my mind. I have to believe the Lord is giving us an illustration of something so much better. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I want to be patient. I want to be patient that I can make it. I want to be patient with the things the Lord allows into my life. Lord, help me to be faithful through all the things that you allow into my life. Lord, help us all to be faithful. Help us the things that don't seem so good, and the things that aren't perfect, and the things that scare us, and the things that seem to be there to wipe us out. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. Be like that farmer. I'm just going to wait. You know, yeah, it's a dry season here and it's real wet there, but I'm waiting until this fruit matures and there's going to be something there. And he says here, he goes on to say, behold, let's see, verse 8. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Now, all this is talking about the same issue here. He says, don't grudge one against another. Have you been done wrong? Has anybody here ever been done truly wrong? Sure, most of us have, haven't we? And sometimes it's been on a large scale, on purpose. And you know what James says? He says, brethren, don't grudge one against another. Don't hold any grudges. He says, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren. Now he gives us another illustration. Take my brethren, the prophets. This is verse 10. Who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Take those for example. You remember the stories of the prophets? Have you went back through and read the Old Testament? It's worth reading through. I will tell you, you see what those prophets went through. And they were speaking in the name of the Lord. They were doing nothing but good. And they were sawn asunder and killed and evilly tormented. And Jeremiah put in a dungeon with water down in there. He knew he couldn't live long in that, but God didn't. He knew just how much Jeremiah could take, and he took him out. And, you know, Jeremiah gave them, in the midst of all of that, his patience. He gave them the word of the Lord. And do you know, after they went into captivity then? Oh, his words were golden then, weren't they? These are the words of the Lord. After 70 years, we're going to be delivered. How did they believe that? Because here was a man that was speaking the truth to them. Here was one that endured with patience their afflictions and the things that they put on him. And yet, he gave them the word of the Lord. Do you know this morning? Oh, let's don't run out of patience in our life. Let's don't run out of patience with the Lord. Let's don't run out of patience with ourselves or with other people and grudge against them. Let's don't let those things have a place in our heart and our life. He says, behold, the judge standeth at the door, lest you be condemned. And so the Lord help us today that we truly be the people of God, that we truly have patience and long patience, waiting as the farmer does a long time. Yes, I planted it. It's growing. It's growing. But the storm's coming and it may wipe it out. And then the heat may wipe it out. And then all of these things. And they have to endure those things and wait until the end. And you know what? We have a greater promise than they do. Our promise is that we can make it no matter what. Our promise is that the Lord will take us through no matter what. And in fact, He'll make those things work for our benefit if we will allow them. And so, then he goes on, after talking about the prophets, he says, behold, we count them happy which endure. We count Jeremiah happy, folks. I count him happy. You know, he saw something beyond the dungeons that they put him in. He saw something beyond the harsh words that they said to him. He saw something beyond the afflictions that he continually endured in his life. And he saw something worth going for. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. Listen to this. I love this scripture. I've read it many times. You heard of the patience of Job. You know, what kind of patience would it be to not only see all your things destroyed and your children and your wife turn on you against your relationship with the Lord, and then your boils come up on your body and all kinds of things, and suffering intensely for a long period of time. And yet, here was a man that God set forth for you and me. I don't think he was doing that for Job's sake. He was doing that for our sake. And so it says, you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Isn't that wonderful this morning? Do we have faith this morning to believe that? The end of the Lord is that He's very pitiful and He's of tender mercy. And so, shall we run out of patience with the Lord or ourselves or our those around us or whatever it is that comes into our life, our circumstances? Shall we run out of patience? I don't think so. The Lord says here, we count them happy which endure. And so whatever we're in, maybe some of us are in the prime of life and everything seems to be flying great, and others aren't. Well, I will tell you, wherever we're at, let's be patient with the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Job, you know, I have to think, I look at stories like his, and it's so different than Saul's story. I love to read these kind of stories. Job brought great glory to the Lord. The Lord saw him, and he brought great credit to the very fact that there is a God. His life did that. And so can ours this morning. We count them happy which endure. Romans 5. There's many places, actually. I didn't just take and try to find all of them where it said, but I felt like the Lord brought a number of these to my mind. Therefore, listen to this, 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. We glory and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But not only in that, but also in tribulations. Also knowing something. The reason we do is this. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience is a golden diadem in our hand, folks. Patience is a golden thing that we hold if we will allow the Lord to cause us to possess it and to work with it and to allow the things that God allows into our life, and to be patient, to not be ugly and unkind and go against go against what God has allowed us into. And patience, we know that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. What a blessing that is. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Isn't that a wonderful thing this morning, that the Lord wants to work in us tribulation, because He has this chain reaction that goes down the line. Tribulation works something that we need. And if we feel like we just can't take it anymore, then we need this. How do we get it? Tribulation. And so the Lord just keeps it on. You know what? The Lord knows what we need to get us to heaven. He knows what we need, as in Job's case, to work His will. However, and I believe Job was a patient man in what he endured, although he had some things to say. And hope maketh not ashamed. And so, folks, when we recognize what God is up to, and we cooperate with the Lord, and we recognize God is at work here, and we don't attribute it to, well, this is just Satan, I need to just get rid of this. Well, maybe it is. In Paul's case, it was. And maybe the devil is at work sometimes. Do you know that there are times that the devil does work against us, and we want to pray, Lord, we rebuke the devil. We don't want him to have any part or life in a part or lot in our life. But do you know that sometimes those tribulations and afflictions, they work in us something nothing else can. Nothing else can. Let's be patient this morning. Just a few more days. Just a little farther on down the road, folks, and we get our reward. Can we be patient in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience and patience works experience? Because what I've seen, and I'm just going to tell you from my experience, I have never seen yet when the Lord did not take something, and if I would let it, work for my benefit. I've seen that happen all through life. And sometimes it seemed like I didn't let it, and He kept letting it work until I did let it. That's the way the Lord works this morning. And so the Lord help us each one. God help us to make it to heaven. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Want to remember, patience is a vital part in the work of the Lord with us. But we have to cooperate with the Lord. If we'll trust Him, He'll get us ready for heaven. Patient with the Lord, patient with ourselves. You know, we have to be patient with ourselves, because sometimes we're running behind the way. We ought to be doing better than we are. And we have to be patient with ourselves and learn from those things and dig and let the and not defend ourselves, but defend the Lord. Patient with others and patient with our circumstances this morning. Thought about this serenity prayer. We're all probably familiar with this, all the adults. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Now, I know there's another part to that that we never hear. The last part of that, I think I'll read that. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as He did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. And so I just, that sounds pretty good to me. God help us that we'll change the things we can, and that we'll have wisdom to know what those things are, and that we'll accept the things that we cannot and be patient with them. Hebrews 6 and 13. We read here a little bit of Abraham. Hebrews 6 and 13, for when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Do you know that Abraham had to patiently endure too? But do you know that Abraham didn't always perfectly patiently endure, did he? And he got himself in big trouble. And we can do the same if we're not careful. Abraham took things into his own hands. God promised me a son. And so he took it in his own hands, didn't he? And it caused him a lot of heartache. It's still causing the world heartache today. Those issues that came to be through this. And so the Lord help us today to be patient. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. In Hebrews 12 and 1 is another illustration and some other comments about patience. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh, there is a race set before us, isn't there? Let us lay aside every weight and let's be patient and run the race that's set before us. I want to make it to heaven. And I've determined in my mind and heart, I don't care what it takes. I don't care what the cost is. Whatever it takes, I want to make it to heaven. And I plan to get there by God's grace and by His mercy and His love to me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Do you know this morning, it's easy for us to forget. But you know what Jesus endured was not easy. He endured not only the scoffing and the constant coming against Him and rebukes of the Pharisees and all of that came up. But then at His death, we see Him enduring shame, enduring circumstances beyond what a human can really endure. And He died. His body died, didn't it? And so we see Him, He said, consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He endured some shame, didn't He? That was shameful, what He had to do. Get up there on the cross in front of all those people like He was. Shame. He endured that. And the things, the spitting in His face, and the crown of thorns. The crown. You know why they put that crown on Him? Because He was a king. Here, we're going to crown you. And then they hit that down with a reed. I don't think they did it like I just did there. I think they hit on it. And, you know, they slapped Him. Am I right there? They did so many things to Him. And He endured all of that. And the Scriptures tell us, consider Him, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You haven't yet resisted unto blood. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of the flesh, of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, He never has taken out His wrath on us because He was mad. What He does with us is for our profit, folks. That we might be partakers of His holiness. And sometimes the Lord does chasten us, doesn't He? He teaches us. That word is far more than just a whipping. That word is teaching. That word is correcting. That word is to take a son and teach him the whole gamut, including chastening. And so it says, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised therefore. Wherefore, thereby, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Oh, the Lord has so many good things to tell us, folks. I know we could go on and on, and we won't do that, but I think about the Scripture over in Luke 21, And it tells us there, in your patience possess ye your souls. You know, in our patience, what happens in our impatience? We can run off and leave our souls, can't we? We can do the craziest things and be so sorry in a moment of time because we run out of patience, because we run out of waiting, we run out of endurance. You know, the Lord wants to rebuild that. He wants to revitalize our endurance. He wants to give us new strength again. That's what He does. He renews the earth constantly. He wants to renew us too. So this morning, the Lord help us to possess our souls in our patience and not run off. In Luke 21 and 10, I'm going to read just a little bit of that. 10 to 19 maybe. Then said He unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Would that mess up anybody's life in here today? Would that kind of get in our way? Would that get in the way of our happiness? There's a whole lot of the world that's been experiencing this for a long time. And so we feel like, well, this has this come to pass? Well, we're one of the places that it hasn't really. But, you know, it goes on to say, where was I? And you shall be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And so he goes on from there. But I just want to leave that with us this morning, that in our patience, in whatever it is, whether it is these things or circumstances of life and things that we endure, folks, in our patience, possess our souls. Possess our vessels. Don't let them spin out of control and our life become a shame and a disgrace. And as Saul did exactly what he knew full well God did not want him to do. And yet, Samuel told him, the Lord would have established your kingdom forever right here. This was a place God was bringing you into, and He wanted you to pass this. He wanted you to bring glory to His name, and He wanted to show His power in this situation. Can we and will we show to the world that God's way works and that it is best and that He does love people and that, like Job, we've seen the end of the Lord and that He's very compassionate and that He's very pitiful, as the Scripture says, compassionate. And He's looking upon us and He loves us with a love that didn't stop when He died at the cross. Can we show the world that this morning? I hope we can. I hope we will. I hope every one of us here are patient with the Lord and with ourselves. And if we mess up or if we are not, let's be quick, as David was, to say, Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to live for you, and I'm sorry. Do you know the Lord wants us to make it to heaven this morning? He's not looking to keep us out. He's done everything He can do to take us there. Let's be patient. Patient until the coming of the Lord for us. Amen.